Good evening. What Brother Philip didn't explain to you is why I wasn't here earlier. I was supposed to have been here a couple of weeks ago, but I had a slight accident, and I pulled a muscle, my lower abdomen, and received a hernia from it. But he had asked me on a Friday night to come that Sunday, basically 48 hours later. And I was praying that he wouldn't ask me how I received that injury. And he said, and he did. He asked me, he said, "Brother Stephen, what could possibly happen between Friday night and Sunday night that you would have a hernia?" And then I took a big swallow and paused and said, well, I was playing a dangerous sport. Now, it comes to mind, football or something like that, right? No, I was hitting golf balls. I hit a couple of hundred golf balls on Saturday morning with my mom's husband. And apparently I hit one or two the wrong way, and I got injured because of that. So I was supposed to have been here already. But the Lord is good, and Brother Philip is kind. And so here I am tonight, thankfully. If you will, turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. This is the first letter of John. Now, I'll be concentrating more in verse 5 tonight, but I'll go ahead and read the first four verses so that we have a good context of what's to come. Lord willing, this will be clear and pleasing to him tonight. Verse 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Verse 5. "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." Now, if we look at that verse 3, so that we'll stay in context here, John is writing about fellowship here. That fellowship means a having in common, a participation of sorts with one or more other persons. Now, in order for us to have fellowship with God, we must have an element of holiness, or as Peter says in 2 Peter, we must be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, we must be born again. We must be born again in order to have this fellowship with God. God, who is absolutely pure, who is absolutely holy, and will not allow anything in His presence to defile Him whatsoever. Now, John declares this message that he had received from Christ, that God is light. God is light. Now, tonight, the theme I want to hopefully clearly communicate with you is the holiness of God, and that as we go about our days and our weeks and our months, that when we do come across any sort of light, we are reminded of the holiness of God and the purity of God. And that we are reminded that we are to live that life that is holy and pleasing to God as well. So the Lord willing, that message will be communicated tonight. I do want to say, though, that light is an amazing thing. And I think you can agree with me. A few months ago, I was sitting in my in daddy's chair, what I call it. It's the recliner in our living room with the door open and I could see outside. And it was stormy. And then all of a sudden, all creation turned white outside in my front yard. It scared me. And what had happened was lightning had hit a transformer. If you have not ever seen a transformer blow up, it is a mighty sight to see. I guarantee you. Everything turns bright, bright, bright white. I saw a poor little pecan tree for an instant, and then there was nothing but whiteness around it. And then a little bit later on, there were a couple of wires touching in that transformer, and it blew again. And there it lit up again. I was astounded by the power found in that light. And that's all it was light. And it reminded me of this verse. It reminded me of our holy God, who himself is light. Light is also amazing that we don't always see its source. Have you noticed that? Have you ever went out in the daytime and everything is lit up from sunlight, but you can't see the sun? You can't see the sun. The light is there, but with our own eyes, we can't see the sun. And so is God. His holiness is abound. His grace is abound. His love is never ending with no limits. It's always there. We might not see God face to face, but even the sunlight is a true reminder of this. And so as we look at our verse 5, first we have a proclamation of the light. The message was received here. We have heard of him. We have heard of him. The message was reported, and we declare unto you, and the message was revealed that what? God is light. Now the Bible tells us that God clothes himself in light. We find this in Psalm 104. God is absolutely covered in light. And it says this, the psalmist in 104, verse 2. Who covers thyself, speaking of God, who covers thyself with light, as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. Can you imagine a garment of light that's stretching out without any limits? That's how God is presented here in the psalmist and also by John. And also God dwells in an unapproachable light. And that transformer reminded me of that. There was no way I was going to step foot on my front porch while that thing was sparking and firing and everything was lit. And I was quite a distance away from the transformer. I was in a safe position. No way could you have paid me enough to get out there. As such as it is with God. God is, his purity, his holiness is so abound, we are not able to approach his holiness with our mere selves. Paul writes about this in 1 Timothy 6. He says this, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate? That's a big word for a sovereign ruler. I had to look it up myself. The King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. There's a holiness of God that we cannot fathom, that we cannot even imagine. We think of purity. We think of diamonds, perhaps. We think of mountain water, water coming off a mountain and its purity. I had the chance to drink mountain from a glacier in Argentina one time back in the military. It was the best water I ever had in my life. It was the purest water I ever had in my life. But nothing comes to the purity of God. Moses found that out in Exodus 33:18-20. Actually, I'll read 17-20. So Moses is with God and they are conversing here. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And then Moses says this, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I want to put a parenthesis right here. I know we're talking about the light, but I love this very short verse on what Moses said. Show me thy glory. Every time I read this, there's a large element of humility that comes upon me. How many times am I looking to God, crying out to him, Lord, show me your glory. Show it to me. I need you, Lord. Your child needs you now. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. I can imagine Moses saying that then. as I imagine myself many times now saying it, crying out to the Lord. Verse 19, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for thou shalt be no man to see me and live. There shall be no man to see God and live. Moses found out the power of the Lord. The power of the Lord when he showed up there at Mount Sinai. As he did pass by, and Moses had come down from the mountain, and he had this glow about him himself. Imagine he had a good suntan too. Imagine that. But he had this amazing sheen about him that the people had noticed. So we had the proclamation of the light. Now we also have the perfection of the light. One thing I was alluding to earlier is the purity of light. Let me ask you this. Can light be corrupted? Can it be contaminated? There are many things in this world that we have precious to us, that we need for survival, that we need for our existence, but that can be contaminated. Air, for instance. Air can easily be polluted. We need water daily. Not every other day, but daily. Water can easily be contaminated. But light is something that cannot be altered in a way that it's stained. It's rendered poisonous. It's rendered useless in a way. I mean, just think about it. I had some of you here also might have had LASIK surgery. Nice. Now, these are reading glasses, and the doctor told me, and I had it done in the military, the doctor told me, he said, now, when you turn 40-ish, you might need reading glasses, as you would any other time. But other than that, you should be able to see clearly for the rest of your life. And so far, he's been right. How did it get that way? By this laser made out of light that reshaped my lens. Light is an amazing thing. How many times do we turn on a light in our room or in our car, and we take that for granted? Many of us wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for these two little light bulbs on the car in the front of it. Nor would we be able to leave here. There's a perfection about it because God's nature is holy. That is to say, God is light declares His nature to be holy, His holy nature. Isaiah 5:16 reports the same. The prophet says this, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Sanctified in righteousness is God. Are you sanctified in righteousness? Am I? Hopefully not by your own righteousness, because according to the prophet Isaiah also, our righteousness is of filthy rags in front of God. Only righteousness we have would come from God Himself, from a holy God. Not only is His nature holy, but His name is holy. The mere name of God is holy. Again in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place. We have God's holiness revealed. His name is holy. His nature is holy. But we also recognize that holiness, not only ourselves, but others. We know that the angels recognize God's holiness Himself. The angels have recognized God's holiness in chapter 6 of Isaiah. And we have the seraphim here. The ones with six wings. You probably read this many times. They had six wings, where two cover the face, two cover their feet, and two they used to fly. And in verse 3, the prophet writes, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So we find even the angels find His holiness. Not only that, our dear Apostle John wrote in Revelations, and the four beasts, he says, in chapter 4, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, that means all day and night without stopping, these four beasts were continually saying this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Do you think the Lord gets tired of that? I doubt it. I doubt it. It is our duty. It is our duty to worship Him, to proclaim His name, to proclaim His holiness, and cry out, holy, holy, holy is our one and only faithful God. But God is also recognized by the saints in heaven. Not only by the angels in heaven, but by the saints. Revelation chapter 15. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest. All nations. We are guaranteed that all nations will come before God. All people will come before God. You and I will come before a holy God. And we will recognize His holiness in heaven. But we're also reminded that the saints on earth recognize His holiness. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, this amazing prophet says this, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. I love that. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. God is so holy, He cannot look at evil. It reminds me, I have an interesting resume, but one of those tidbits is a counselor. I've done some counseling in my time, and I had a young gentleman I was counseling when I lived overseas, and he struggled with pornography. And he bought this computer program. If I remember right, it's called Eyes of Integrity, or something very similar to that. But Integrity was in there. And so he made me a sponsor of that. And any time that he slipped and went to any risque site, it alerted me by text, by email, just like that. And he knew he was going to get a phone call, my brother Stephen, and to give him some encouragement in that. But that eyes of integrity, God's eyes are so pure that He cannot look upon evil. And it reminds me, how pure are my eyes? How much filter am I using to keep my eyes pure and holy before God? That's just a thought hopefully you'll take back with you as we continue to struggle with the flesh in this life. So not only is God's holiness recognized by the angels in heaven, by the saints in heaven, by the saints here on earth, it's also required for the saints here on earth. This is a requirement that we recognize God's holiness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness. So with all men, two things. Follow peace and follow holiness. Without which no man shall see God. Without which no man shall see God if we do not have holiness. And the Apostle Peter reminds us also, be holy, for I am holy, says Peter. And he takes that out from the Old Testament as well. And we have seen how the proclamation of the light is found. We have seen how the perfection of the light has come. But we also know that in Christ Jesus, there's a personification of this light. Light in bodily form. John reminds us, I'm hitting a lot of John tonight. John reminds us in the first chapter of his gospel, verses 14 and 18. And the Word was made flesh. He's talking about Jesus here. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which was in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Christ Jesus and his heavenly Father so intertwined, they're so united in love, that Jesus here is spoken to be in the bosom of the Father. Imagine that the intimacy of that relationship of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, to the point that Jesus himself is light. Jesus himself is holy. 1 Timothy 3:16. Paul also reminds us. First Timothy 3:16. Now the Lord of That was a wrong T. That was the Thessalonians. I thought that doesn't jive with what I'm talking about. And I have a large print Bible too. You would think I wouldn't have made that mistake. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery. Listen to that word. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. I love the way he writes that. Great is the controversy, the controversy is great as the mystery. Great is the mystery. The mystery of God's holiness. The mystery of how God was manifest in the flesh in Jesus Christ. How he was justified in the Spirit. This is Jesus he's talking about here. God walking on earth with us. Now we realize the holiness of God. Now can you realize the holiness of Christ, and especially how these 12 apostles spent day in and day out at the feet of Jesus, learning from him, trying to model their lives after him. And many fail to do that, as we also often fail. But Jesus is the incarnation of God. He is the incarnation of light. He is light and life, actually. He is the light unto men, as we are reminded in John chapter 12. Verse 46. Jesus says this, I am come a light into the world. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth me should not abide in darkness. The light of Christ keeps us from that darkness. See that parallel there? You ever realize what happens to the darkness when you flip on the light switch? Where does it go? Does it go down the AC vent? Does it hide under the pew? It doesn't. What is darkness? Darkness is the absence of what? Light. And Christ came to a darkened world and filled that world with the light of God, so that we might see the holiness of God and repent and believe. Believe and repent. So not only is Jesus the light of men, he is also the life of men. He says this in John chapter 8. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Not only is Christ the light, he is also the life. First chapter of John says that in him was life, and in him was the life, and the life was the light of men. It's a common theme through John. One of the themes through John's writings is the light of God, the light of Christ, that purity, that holiness, that without Christ, there is no access to a holy God. Not for you and me, brother, sister. God is absolutely holy and righteous, but a sinful man cannot approach him and live. But thankfully, God has sent his Son. Paul reminds us that there is one God and mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He is the sole mediator between us We should be thankful on a daily basis. And I know many of us are of that. So we must approach Him on His terms in order to fellowship with Him. I'm going back to that verse 3 in 1 John. In order to fellowship with Him, we must approach God on His terms and realize that we are to live that holy life. Now, how do we do that? We have these basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, to do that. We have the prayer. We have the movement of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. But it is my prayer that as we go about, not just tonight, but this week, that you will remember and realize we serve a holy God. We serve a mighty God. Next time you flip on that light switch, turn on those headlights. Sing a praise to God. Sing a praise to God. Thank you for your kind attention.